Well, here we have one of the most familiar and indeed the most popular of the Christmas stories, an ever-present scene in school nativity presentations and recounted in the carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Now, I can still picture our son Richard at 5 or 6 with cloak and gold crown walking to the front of the church with 2 of his friends behind a blonde-haired girl in a white dress carrying a silver star on the end of a bamboo cane. There is so much in this story. In Act 1, we see wise men, stargazers from Asia or Syria or Persia or even India, following a new star, which they believed heralded the arrival of a new king. The next act, Act 2, in the court of King Herod, we find Jewish wise men who point to the prophet Micah's words about a king born in Bethlehem. Herod sends the wise men from the east to seek the child, and when they found him, to return and tell Herod all about it. Act 3 finds the wise men presenting the child Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Act 4 finds the wise men warned by God not to return to Herod, whose motives are far from a wish to worship Jesus, which is borne out by the slaughter of all the boys under 2 years old in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Mary and Joseph flee with Jesus to Egypt. So we celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany comes from a Greek word, epiphaneia, meaning manifestation or revelation. And we use it to focus our attention on the revelation of God to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. In many ways, the season of Epiphany is simply a continuation, an extension of our Christmas celebration of the incarnation of the Word made flesh. Throughout this season, which continues until the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple, which takes place on the 2nd of February, or we celebrate it on the 2nd of February, we celebrate the revelation of Christ's divine glory in a variety of ways, principally through 3 well-known biblical stories: the coming of the wise men, the baptism of Jesus, and the first miracle at Cana in Galilee, when Jesus turned water into wine, and we see the transformation that God will bring to human lives. But it is the first of these stories that is the most familiar. The visit of the wise men to the Holy Family in Bethlehem, often told as part of the Christmas narrative. Yet its familiarity can easily mask its power. Where is he who was born King of the Jews? This question was originally posed by the Magi as they searched for the Holy Child. But it's become the motif for the season of Epiphany as we consider where we might find Christ in the world today. It was a question that haunted the German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed by the Nazis at the end of World War II for his leadership in the underground confessing church in Germany. Bonhoeffer wrote this: "In Christ we are offered the possibility of partaking in the reality of God and in the reality of the world, but not one without the other. The reality of God discloses itself only by setting us entirely in the reality of the world. And when I encounter the reality of the world, it is always sustained, accepted, and reconciled in the reality of God. The reality of God found in the reality of the world, the reality of the world understood in the reality of God. And this is the inner meaning of the revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. This is what Epiphany is about. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Well, let's look around us. Let's look around at the needs of our community, at the needs of the world. Look around at the sacrificial service of nurses and ambulance personnel, lifeboat crews, fire crews and police, aid workers, Christian missionaries. Look at those who serve with selfless love and sacrifice. This story is rich in meaning. Gentile stargazers are the first people to worship the infant Jesus. The significant aspect of this part of the story is that these men are Gentiles, which parallels the presence of four Gentile women, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba, in the family genealogy of Jesus, which Matthew has recorded in the previous chapter. We three kings from Orient are. Well, not necessarily true. There were certainly three gifts, but the number of stargazers is not mentioned. The significant aspect of this part of the story is the nature of the gifts. Gold for kingship, frankincense for priesthood, and myrrh for anointing, or even for death. But they're all suitable and valuable gifts for a king. The stargazers go to the house where Jesus and his family are staying, not the stable where the shepherds found the baby. The significant aspect of this part of the story is that Jesus is by now a toddler. It has taken time for the stargazers to travel from their homes where they first saw the star, which announced the birth of a new king. This is confirmed by Herod's slaughter of the innocents, boys up to the age of 2 years. Herod had asked when the star had first appeared and did his calculations accordingly. Herod clearly feared the appearance of a new king, especially one announced by God's prophet. This new king would be God's shepherd of his people, as Micah had prophesied. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? It's no wonder that Herod felt threatened. This is the promise of God's long-awaited Messiah. The heart of the gospel is here. Matthew emphasizing that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the shepherd king in the line of David. Now, this is in extreme contrast to Herod. Herod is an Edomite. He's a Roman appointee. And as such, he would be vulnerable and fearful of the claims of a king who had a Davidic dynasty. One of Matthew's central themes is that in Jesus, the Jews have rejected the offer of salvation, but the Gentiles will accept it. The Gentiles will be brought into the place that the Jews have forfeited by their unbelief. And the church will be the Israel of the last days, destined to share the joys of the age to come. And when we come to the end of Matthew's account of the gospel, the disciples are commissioned to take the gospel to all nations. The presence of the Magi worshipping the infant Jesus is the hint of the future mission of the church. Matthew has already seen Jesus' mission prophesied by Isaiah, a mission which includes light and justice and hope for Gentiles. The Magi, as representatives of the Gentile world, were the first to come and worship Jesus, recognizing him as king, even though the Jewish authorities, in the person of Herod, rejected him. They came seeking the king of the Jews. Although this king of the Jews has now been crucified by the Gentiles above the cross, this is the king of the Jews. It is again the Jewish leaders who rejected Jesus and succeeded in engineering his death. And now at the end of the gospel, all nations will be made disciples. What was foreshadowed in the opening chapters is through the Church of Christ to take place. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Jesus, named Emmanuel at his birth, God with us, now encourages the disciples to know through their commission that he promises to be with them always to the end of time. And writing to the Ephesians, Paul states that his call is to take part in this commission. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And of course, we sit here this morning as we have benefited from this commission, as it is through the apostles and subsequent generations of Christian missionaries and pastors that we have come to know the gospel message of life and hope in Christ. So we see in the story of the visit of the Magi to the infant Christ, the breaking down of barriers of division between Jew and Gentile, between rich and poor, between vulnerable and powerful. But then when we look at our world today, we see the same divisions, with nations warring against nations, the widening gap between the wealthy and the poor, and the powerful exploiting the vulnerable. We are called to oppose those who call for division, nationalism, and segregation, which exclude others, and the borders and boundaries of self-interest which deny human rights. Our call, as those to whom Christ has been revealed, is to live an alternative life as a challenge to our divided world. We are called to be truth tellers and peacemakers, reconcilers and channels of love and peace. The wise men brought gifts of gold. Well, we can follow the Magi in our lives, bringing our gifts of wealth, being generous as individuals and as a church, in our attitudes to those in need. The wise men brought priestly perfume of frankincense, and we can follow the Magi, offering our lives in worship, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who calls us to deny self, take up the cross-shaped life of sacrificial love, and follow his example of how to live. The wise men brought the anointing oil of myrrh, and we can follow the Magi in addressing the needs of those who are hurting, those who are fearful, abandoned, or grieving. We can offer our emotions, our empathy, and our love to those on whom the world often turns its back. We hold the example of Jesus, who brought wholeness to those who were broken, and who restored to community those who were excluded and unacceptable or different. And it is here that we find he who is born King of the Jews. In our lives, the reality of God in the reality of the world, the reality of the world in the reality of God, and we as those who declare he who is born King of the Jews.